Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, November 21, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in 1 John 5, verse 19. Which says, we have learned Bible doctrine in the past, with the result that we know Bible doctrine now. We know that we are of God. That's spiritual birth, regeneration. We are royal family of God, and something else. The entire world lies in the control of the evil one, Satan. As you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you come to know that through spiritual birth, regeneration, you are now of God, royal family of God. The words, we are of God, are juxtaposed with the state of the whole world, which lies under the control of the evil one, Satan. The winner believer is on God's side, over against the world, all unbelievers, and those loser believers living in the cosmic system who are on Satan's side. The winner believer keeps on obeying the mandates of God in His Word, and therefore he lives the spiritual life of the church age, attains the ultimate objective, having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, and therefore he has personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. On the other hand, Satan is the enemy of God, and he is our enemy. He's the enemy of the royal family of God. And he is the one who is ruling planet Earth. And he rules the world by a system he invented. He's the expert in it. The cosmic system, made up of cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and that was the sin of his fall. I will be like the Most High God. The five I wills of Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. And interlocking systems of hatred, antagonism developed, antagonism toward God, antagonism toward the Word of God, antagonism toward believers who are executing the Word of God. And therefore God has given us, royal family, this warning: stop loving the world. And John taught about this in 1 John 2:15 to 17, when he said, stop loving the world. Stop loving Satan's cosmic system, nor the things in the cosmic system. If anyone keeps on loving the world, then the love of God, virtue love, absolutely is not in him. Absolutely has not been brought to completion in his heart. 1 John 2:5. Verse 16. Because everything that is in the world, Satan's cosmic system, the lust from the flesh, the sin nature, the lust from the eyes, and the arrogant manner of life, absolutely is not from the Father. It's not from God the Father, but is from Satan's cosmic system. In fact, the world, the cosmic system, is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now, we are in a war. It's not a visible war, it's an invisible war. The invisible war of the angelic conflict. And Satan is our enemy. He is ruling this planet. He is your enemy. He's God's enemy. But more than that, he is our enemy, every one of us. Now, we're in this war, and if you're going to be a victor, a winner in this war, then you have to know your enemy. You can't laugh at him or just, oh, don't tell me about devil or say, that's funny. There's nothing funny about it. It's absolute truth. And if you think Satan is funny, you think the devil is funny, this is all a bunch of hooey, well, you're a casualty right now. You're a casualty where you are. That's exactly what this fallen angel wants you to think. He wants you to laugh and say, no, don't talk about the devil. Don't talk about Satan. Yeah, I don't believe that. When you think that way, you're a casualty. You've already been defeated. And sad to say, most Christians in America are casualties. They are casualties in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. They do not understand their enemy. You have to know your enemy. And so we began studying last time the person of Satan. And we have studied the first 5 points on the person of Satan. We noted in point one that he was the highest ranking of all the angels. Now remember, angels are creatures. They were created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of all the angels. And all the angels were created by Christ perfect. And then the highest of all of the angels, the most beautiful of all the angels, the most intelligent, the greatest genius of all of the angels, was given a special privilege to guard the throne of Jesus Christ. And he was so impressed by who and what he was that he decided, well, his fall was his arrogance. Isaiah 14:12-14, the five I will, and the fifth one, I will be like the Most High God. I will be God. Now he's a creature. He's not God. He's not the creator, Jesus Christ. He's a creature. And this creature said, I will be like God. And he is now ruling this earth. And you just look around America. Look around the world. He's winning the angelic conflict right now. He's not going to win it, but he's winning it here. He's controlling the people all over planet Earth. Anti-Semitism. You see, if he can destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, he will win the angelic conflict. Anti-Semitism in America is increasing, increasing, increasing in our own nation. And all over the world. I just saw the International Court has put out a warrant to arrest Prime Minister Netanyahu. Put out a warrant for his arrest as a criminal. That is, where is this coming from? Who's the ruler of planet Earth? He is a fallen angel. He is more brilliant than all of you here put together. I know I got a lot of geniuses in this congregation, but he's way, way more than all of you put together. And right now, he's in high gear. And he's getting everything set up. He's got a fantastic plan to win the angelic conflict. And he's got a man that's going to come, his man, his number one human being. We know him as the Antichrist. We don't know what his name is right now. He very easily could be living right now on planet Earth. But he's not going to be revealed until the rapture takes place. And then after the rapture takes place and all believers are removed from the earth at the rapture, then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. And that is Satan's number one man. And Satan empowers him so that he winds up ruling planet Earth. And his plan is for the Antichrist to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. If he can do that, and he thinks he can, he's arrogant enough, he thinks he can, he will win the angelic conflict. So this study, every time I get to this point of teaching this is absolute truth. And Satan he wants you to just laugh at it, think it's a bunch of hooey, it's not a big deal. And if you think that way, you're a casualty right now. There is nothing more important. You have to know your enemy. So point one was, he was the highest ranking of all angels. and the ruler of all fallen angels. He is the most perfect and beautiful creature to come from the hand of God. Ezekiel 28:12-15. He has a voice like a pipe organ. He is superior in genius and beauty and personality and persuasiveness. And he is invisible. As a creature, Satan has a throne, Isaiah 14:13. That's in the passage of the five I wills, Isaiah 14:12-14. He was the chief of angels, and his name was Lucifer, which means the bright one, the morning star. That's what he was at his creation, in perfection. The bright one, the morning star, Isaiah 14:12. He was the most spiritual being, the most spiritual being that has ever existed. And that is why, as even a fallen angel, he can transfer himself into an angel of light. And we noted that in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Satan is his name as the enemy of God. The Hebrew is Satan, same way in the Greek. And it means adversary. Satan is the enemy of God. Satan is the enemy of all those who belong to God, all believers and all elect angels. And then point two, Satan is a prehistoric super creature. Isaiah 14:12-14, Ezekiel 28:11-19. Point three, he has three falls. Two of them will take place in the future from where we are today. The first fall was his angelic sin of arrogance, in which he said, the five I will, but the last one, I will be like the Most High God. Isaiah 14:13-14. He revolted against God, and then one-third of all angels joined him in the revolution against the living and true God. His second fall, he will be cast out of heaven in the middle of the tribulation, Revelation 12:7-9. His third fall, he will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, Revelation 20:10. Point four, he has two advents. The first advent is in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. And his second advent is when he returns at the end of the millennium to start a revolution against the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 27:8. Point five, he is the central antagonist of the angelic conflict, Hebrews 1-2 and Genesis 6. And we're going to take a look at Genesis 6 in more detail. Point six is where we start tonight. He is an organizational genius. Now, one-third of the angels joined him in the revolution. We call these fallen angels demons. There is demonic activity going on all over the world, and all over in America. He's an organizational genius with a great organization of fallen angels, which we call demons. Turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. And it's understanding this. The Apostle Paul understood this 100%. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't laugh about Satan. He didn't laugh at Satan. He didn't laugh at the idea. The Apostle Paul understood completely the invisible war of the angelic conflict. He understood completely the reality that Satan is the ruler of planet Earth right now. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. This armor of God has been provided by the grace of God to all of us so that we don't become a casualty in this invisible war of the angelic conflict. If you fail to put on the full armor of God, you're toast. You're toast. Most Christians in America are toast because they failed to put on the full armor of God. So why do you put on the full armor of God? Here's the reason. For the purpose that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. As the ruler of planet Earth, he has a lot of strategies to rule planet Earth. But the only way you're going to be able to be victorious, you have to put on the full armor of God, and it goes on in your soul. This full armor of God goes on in the soul, not the body. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This is not a visible war, but against ruling demons and demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, Cosmocrator, world-ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All of these demons have been organized by the ruler of planet Earth into this phenomenal organization. Now, there are four major demon attacks on the human race. Four major demon attacks on the human race. The first one, Satan came within eight people of winning the angelic conflict. The genetic attack on the antediluvian civilization. Satan came within eight people. He had a plan. His plan was, he knew from Genesis 3, he knew that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, was going to leave heaven, come to the earth, take on true humanity, and solve the world's problem of sin. He knew that. So he comes up with a plan. I will corrupt true humanity. I will corrupt true humanity. And he sent fallen angels, demons, and they cohabited with human women in the antediluvian civilization and corrupted the human race on planet Earth. And with the offspring, well, they're called Nephilim, half angel, half human. And he came within eight people of winning the angelic conflict. The only ones left were Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And God destroyed the entire earth by water. The Mabul! Flood. And it was a worldwide flood. The whole world was underwater. Everything was destroyed. Only eight members of the human race living after the worldwide flood. Only eight. I'm going to give you a little aside. By the way, if you haven't ever done it before, you might want to go out after class. Maybe not tonight, but sometime. But you might as well do it tonight. on the wall in the hallway right before my office, there's some pictures. And there's a picture there of one of the widows. And for years and years, Deb and I have been taking the widows out to dinner and to movies and to our house for dinners. And Jean Peacock was one of those widows. And we had the widows at that time over to our house and had dinner. And we had dinner in what I call the hunting lodge room. It has all these trophy animals all the way around. And Jean Peacock was there, and she saw on one wall there was a niche in the wall. She goes, "What's going to go in that niche in the wall there?" And I said, "An elk." I said, "I've been putting in for an elk tag for years and years and never been drawn." She goes, "You're going to get drawn. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start praying starting today that you get an elk tag. And you're going to get one. You're going to get an elk tag." I did that year. She started praying. I got an elk tag. Now that is a winner believer there, let me tell you. And she says, "When you get your elk, and you're going to get a trophy elk, and when he's taxidermied and put in that niche on the wall, I want to come over and have my picture taken with that elk." And she did. And it's out there. Jean Peacock and the elk she prayed for that I would get the tag and harvest. Well, I was hunting up at Ely. 10,000 foot elevation. And my guide was a Native American, but whoever my guide is, I always give them the gospel. And I gave the gospel to them and explained exactly salvation is by grace, faith alone, and Christ alone, apart from any work. And I explained what Christ did on the cross, paid the penalty for all the sin. And he listened, he says, "You know, I could almost believe, that makes sense. I could almost believe that." I said, "Well, you need to believe it if you're going to live with God forever in heaven." He said, "Well, I could believe that, but don't tell me you believe in Noah and the ark and the animals and things like that." And I said, "Absolutely I do. 100%. Yes, I do." And if you're going to tear that part of the Bible out and don't believe that, then don't believe any of it. Either it's the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit, or it's a bunch of lies. I said, "I believe it 100%. Yes, I believe in Noah, I believe in the ark, and every word there in Genesis 6 that describes it." He said, "Well, I don't think I could ever believe something like that." Well, I shot this elk, harvested this elk at 10,000 feet. And he had a whole crew, but they were a long ways off, miles away. And he called them and said, "Come up and help cut this up and get it off the top of this mountain." So we're sitting there at 10,000 feet. And as we're talking, he goes, "Oh, look at that. It's a fossil of a fish. Only God, this is God works in strange and mysterious ways." And I said, "A fish at 10,000 feet? Noah. The worldwide flood. This was underwater. This was underwater. The flood. Noah." And his jaw dropped. He's the one who, God had him find it and show it to me. And I just going, "Thank you, sir. That was beautiful. That was absolutely fantastic." Well, I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 6. And by the way, that young man, after the hunt was over, I took him out to dinner, and I gave him the gospel again, and he listened to every word. I never ask people if they believe in Christ or not, but I think I'm going to see that young man in heaven. Everything about that, God set up every part of it. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We'll start at verse 1. When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, B'nai HaElohim, these are angels, but these are fallen angels. Fallen angels carrying out a strategy designed by Satan himself to win the angelic conflict. If he can corrupt the human race, he will win. That these B'nai HaElohim, angels, fallen angels, this demonic infiltration, they saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. And then the Lord said, "My Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, will not contend with man forever. For he is mortal, his days will be 120 years." Verse 4, the Nephilim. The Nephilim, these are the half-angelic, half-human offspring from the procreation of the fallen angels with the human women. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God, the B'nai HaElohim, the fallen angels, in this demonic infiltration, went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, the mighty men of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, "I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them." But Noah found face in the eyes of the Lord, favor in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the account of Noah. Noah was a grace-righteous man, a spiritually mature believer, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. He is a spiritually mature believer. He is in fellowship with God. He is honoring God. He's glorifying God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So it's Noah, his wife, and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. Only eight people on the entire earth. Only eight people that were survived and rescued in the worldwide deluge, the Noahic flood. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood." By the way, did you know that the ark has been found? been found by scientists on Mount Ararat, the top of Mount Ararat. There have been a couple of times that expeditions have gone up to the top of Mount Ararat. Most of the time it's under ice and snow, and you can't see anything but the ice and snow. But a couple of times the ice and snow was melted where expeditions went up and they found the ark. By the way, this isn't a little boat. This is 1.5 football field long. 1.5 football field long. It can handle 8 people. And two of different species of animals. And it did. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 1.5 football field, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Worldwide deluge. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth, everything will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you, 8 in total. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be, they will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything just as God commanded him. That was the first attack. 4 major demon attacks on the human race. This was the genetic attack on the antediluvian civilization, and Satan almost won the angelic conflict right there. The second attack is the attack of demon possession on unbelievers. The attack of demon possession on unbelievers. The third attack, the attack of demon influence on believers, which involves living in Satan's cosmic system. Cosmic 1, interlocking systems of arrogance. Cosmic 2, interlocking systems of hatred. And number 4, the attack of demon armies that will take place in the 7-year tribulation. Revelation chapter 9. So 4 major demon attacks on the human race. Point 7. Satan is the origin of murder and violence in the human race. We saw that in Genesis 6, verses 11 and 13. This is also taught by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. Turn over to John. John 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 8, 44a. First half of verse 44. Jesus Christ is teaching and he says, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. does Jesus Christ believe that there is the devil, Satan? Well, he created him. He was the greatest angel, greatest creature ever to come from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he does. 8, he is the enemy of Bible doctrine. He's the enemy of the Word of God. In the garden, Satan kept saying to Eve, "Hath God said? Hath God said?" She started thinking, well, maybe he didn't. What is he attacking? The Word of God. 9, he is the enemy of the church. He's the enemy of the royal family of God. And he administers evidence testing on winner believers. He administers evidence testing on winner believers. Revelation chapter 2. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. This is evidence testing on winner believers. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested, evidence testing, and you will have intensified testing 10 times. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Crown of life to winner believers who have passed evidence testing and glorified God in the middle of that evidence testing. I will give you the crown of life. Ten. He is the enemy of Christ. He is the enemy of Christ. And he tried to prevent And he tried to kill Jesus Christ right after he was born. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. He tried to kill Christ right after the virgin birth. Now let's go ahead and we'll start at verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now who is this dragon? We'll look down for a moment to verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels thrown down with him. Now, back again. Verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems. Verse 4. And his tail swept away 1/3 of the stars of heaven. 1/3 of the angels joined him in his revolution against God and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. The woman is Israel, who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. His strategy was to kill the Lord Jesus Christ right after his virgin birth. Kills Christ as a baby, it's over. The angelic conflict is over and he wins. Verse 5. And she gave birth to a son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's the ascension and session of the Lord Jesus Christ after his strategic victory on the cross. Now, look down. No, that's good. So he is the enemy of Christ. He tried to kill Jesus Christ in hypostatic union as a baby. And that's when the decree was put out to kill every male child in that at that period of time. And they did. But the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary, Joseph, had taken him. They were led by God to take him out of the Middle East. So he is called the anointed cherub, and as such, he held the highest position of all angelic creatures. Point 11, he is the greatest deceiver of history. The greatest deceiver of history. To be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar in history. Now, sins of the tongue of judging, slandering, maligning, God hates those. God hates those sins. And you come under triple compound discipline when you do that. You don't ever want to get involved in judging, slandering, maligning. But here's another sin of the tongue that God hates, lying. Why is that a sin that God hates? Because you're imitating the ruler of this world. You're imitating a fallen angel. You're imitating Satan himself. Because he is the greatest and most effective liar in all of history. Now we saw John 8:44a. Now let's go to John 8:44b. In fact, we'll start at verse 44 beginning. You belong, Jesus Christ is teaching, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You don't ever want to get into lying. When you get out of fellowship with God, when you make bad decisions and wind up in Satan's cosmic system, you stay in there, you become a disciple of the devil. You're just like he is. And he's a liar. There's no truth in him. And what do you imitate? You don't imitate Jesus Christ. There's no fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. No, you imitate the devil. A liar. And there are so many Christians that get into Satan's cosmic system, and they become psychopathic liars. They look you right in the eye and lie to your face. I've had people do that with me. Look me right in the face and lie to me face to face. Who are they imitating? They're not imitating Jesus Christ. There's no spiritual life. They're imitating the ruler of this world, Satan, the devil, who is a liar. So to be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar in history, John 8:44b. When anyone is living in the cosmic system, then Satan is your mentor, and you imitate your mentor and lie. Satan never tells the truth. So a principle. When you live the spiritual life and get maximum metabolized doctrine, absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, that is the greatest factor for insulating you against the power of Satan. That is the greatest factor insulating you against the power of Satan. By living the spiritual life, getting maximum metabolized doctrine, absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, then you are, that's the number one factor for insulating you against the power of Satan. Satan works through human beings who are liars. Satan works through human beings who are liars. And we're living in the church age right now. The lawless one, the Antichrist, who is the human being, has not been revealed yet. But he will be following the rapture. And following the rapture, when the lawless one, the Antichrist, is revealed, Satan will work through him, the Antichrist, the human being. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Starting in verse 8. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming, the second advent of Christ to the earth. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, counterfeit signs and counterfeit wonders, and in every category of evil that deceives those who are perishing. And they perish because they refuse to love the truth of the grace gospel, and believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 to 12. So another principle. Believers living in Satan's cosmic system are deceived. I'm talking about believers now. Believers living in Satan's cosmic system are deceived as easily as unbelievers. Believers living in Satan's cosmic system are deceived as easily as unbelievers and become psychopathic liars, just like their mentor, Satan. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and therefore God is infinite virtue, infinite integrity, and infinitely fair. God is never unfair. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and therefore He is infinite virtue, infinite integrity, and infinitely fair. God is never, never unfair. Now, all of us as believers, we make bad decisions from time to time, get out of fellowship with God, and get in Satan's cosmic system. And as a result, God has to discipline us for the bad decisions to sin and live in the cosmic system. However, through rebound and making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, we will experience the fantastic blessings of the spiritual life and glorifying God. Now, God wants to have all your attention at all times. And with humility and positive volition, you give Him that. God wants to have all of your attention at all times. If we do not give God our attention, then God takes steps to get our attention. What are they? One, God's grace and infinite virtue love for us. God's grace and infinite virtue love for us includes divine discipline to bring us back in line, to get us back into fellowship with Him, back into the spiritual life, back into the filling of the Spirit. Now, this is teaching us lessons the hard way. Discipline, that's the hard way to learn something. You got an easy way. Easy way is get your Patutian Bible class, come in here with a positive volition and humility, and listen and learn and believe the Word of God. That's the easy way. God would love to have you all learn the easy way. But you have a free will, and from your free will you can say no to that and do your own thing and get out of fellowship with God, get into the cosmic system. Well, then the only way, you have to learn the hard way. So two, you always have an option. You always have an option. You can learn the easy way, what you're doing tonight. You decided to make a good decision to come to Upland Bible Church with positive volition, humility. You came to find out what God had for you in the teaching of the Word of God. And frankly, there aren't very many people anymore that have that kind of, well, making those kind of good decisions. Everything else is more important. So you always have an option. You can learn the easy way, positive volition and humility, assemble in a sound Bible teaching church, or you can learn the hard way. You can get out of fellowship with God and the cosmic system, and you get into self-induced misery, and then God has to spank you. Starts out with warning discipline. If you don't learn, intensive discipline. If you don't learn, dying discipline. Point three, God never changes whether He is blessing us or whether He is disciplining us. God never changes whether He is blessing us or whether He is disciplining us. for? God always loves us with infinite virtue love. Always. God always loves us with infinite virtue love. And the discipline is designed under the virtue love of God for us. He disciplines us because He loves us. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. So God always loves us with infinite virtue love. When we're in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life, and when we're out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system, He always loves us with infinite virtue love. And when we're in the cosmic system, He disciplines us with infinite virtue love. 5, Satan attacks us in hatred. Satan attacks us in hatred, but God disciplines us in virtue love. Satan attacks us in hatred, but God disciplines us in virtue love. Now, it's been a while since we have taken the time to learn about our enemy. But it's very, very important that you learn about this enemy. He is extremely powerful and ruling the entire planet. But greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. God has graced us out with everything we need to be a winner in this angelic conflict. He's given us the spiritual life. He's given us the armor of God. He's given us everything, the grace and power of God, to be victorious and to glorify Him in this time. And I hope all of you take this very, very seriously. There is nothing more important that you can learn than learn what we're studying the last couple times and what we are going to be studying for a little while longer. But you'll have to come next week. By the way, next week, classes will be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because Thursday is Turkey Day. Now, God's plan is so fantastic. He wants you to have Christmas every single day, and He wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. Next week, classes Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.